Is this on? Thank you. I don't like this thing beside my mouth. I'm much more used to the lapel mic, so I'm going to be having some conversations, but a little later with some people about a lapel mic. So I'm not going to be using this because I do have an object lesson. So we're going to be blessed with two of the youth guys, and they have no clue what they're in for. So I think they're probably almost as scared as I am this morning, being the first time since I was ordained being up. So I've been up front here, but never in quite in this capacity. What do you talk about? What do you preach about? What do you teach about? And I personally believe you go where God wants you to go. And it doesn't really matter how simple the message, how used to the message that we are. If God has a message, He has a message. So turn with me to Matthew 6. It is I think everyone knows this, but it's in Matthew 6. Conversation that Jesus was having with His disciples was this, or they asked Him this. They wanted to pray. And I'm not talking on prayer this morning, not particularly. I considered it, but when I started talking, started thinking, then I started believing that I really needed to be talking on the Lord's Prayer. And you're saying the Lord's Prayer. We all know the Lord's Prayer. There's something very interesting, and I asked Harold if he had taught on it, or he says no. I said, go ahead, go for it. So if you have heard this message preached before, please just listen with and see if we can glean something maybe new. The Lord's Prayer is like an egg. You say, like an egg. What do you mean? An egg is one of the most complete food sources that you could eat. You could literally live on eggs. Why? Most everything you need to live is in that. The interesting thing that I have found, and I have never studied the Lord's Prayer like I did, obviously, this last week. This gives us a complete window into God's heart and His soul, what He wants from us when we talk to Him. First question I have is this. Let's just go ahead and read it. It'd be Matthew 6, 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to unpack the first couple of verses, especially at first. I want to talk about prayer just for a minute. This gives us a little bit what God is looking from us. Prayer is three different components. It's supplication is when you ask God. You ask God for something you need. Every one of us has needs. We have sicknesses, or we have mental needs, or we have physical needs, or we have needs. And when God wants us to come to Him and just ask Him. Sometimes if you don't have any faith, ask Him anyhow, because He's going to answer. Sometimes you take His time, but that's His supplication. This is the one that us as humans tend to do the most, because we love to have blessings. We don't like to have adversity. The next one is one of thanksgiving. This is one I'm just learning in the last years. It's called being grateful. God gave you a gift. God loves to hear that you're enjoying His gift. And He's also glad to hear that you're happy in the completeness of His gift. That's thanksgiving. The one that I don't understand, that I understand the least, is intercession. This is when you become a Christian. The most powerful way for you to express your feelings towards God or your prayer towards God or your conversation towards God is when you're taking someone else and you're bringing him before the Father. The interesting thing is I have not learned intercessory prayer till I had a prodigal son. And then you do it daily. It's interesting how that can work. Verse 9, we're going to start there. I have a question. And it's a question that hit me. And I'm not sure how to say it other than just say it or ask it. Is the Lord's Prayer for the unsaved? Seriously. Is it for the unsaved? I'm not asking, I'm not looking for an answer. But think of that for a second. Our Father. I kind of came to the conclusion in some ways, you can pray it if you're unsaved. But the prayer that God will hear from you is a prayer that the publican did. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You pray that prayer, you have a right to pray the prayer that we're going to be looking at today. If you're not saved, I think you should maybe not ignore, but go do the other prayer first. We call it the sinner's prayer. And we have made the sinner's prayer actually something very easy for anyone to do. But the interesting thing is it has to be for real. It has to come from your heart of repentance. When you're done with you, you become before an almighty God and you go, God be merciful to me, a sinner. This is where your face turns. Now, you are welcome to pray the next prayer. I never thought of it that way. I always thought that anyone in the world can just pray this prayer. This is a complete prayer. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying I don't believe that you can really do this prayer. The first word is our. This talks of ownership. After you do the prayer of repentance, he is now your God. He is now our. He is now yours. When he becomes your father, there is something that happens. He makes a real connection with you. I've noticed something about being a father and being a father and a husband. There is no calling or there's no feeling that's deeper and higher than this feeling. And what happens so often, we get betrayed, and we'll talk about some of this a little bit later on. But I never realized either how God actually looks at us with the emotion that he does. I have always thought God is this big abstract thing or spirit that is living in heaven. He is judging me to see if I'm good or if I'm bad, if I'm doing evil, if I'm doing good. I never realized and never thought of it until I've gotten a little bit older that God actually has feelings for us. He actually, we say love. But I don't quite understand love, but there's a scripture that jumped out of me, and I have to read it. Just let me go back, and I should have been there in a second. There we go. And this is him talking to Israel. This is when Israel betrayed him. This is how God feels. He feels. God has feelings. For those of you who escaped me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by your adulterous heart. There is no crushing. I had a young man working for me. His wife, she was doing things that were not good. That young man, I have never seen somebody experience a crushing like an adulterous partner. It is a cut to the heart. If you walk away from God and you do not pay attention to him and take his gift lightly, looking at myself, you crush his heart. That's how much he feels. This is the Father that he's talking that is supposed to be our Father. This is the first one, our Father. Verse 10. I'm going to be moving through fairly quickly. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's God's will versus our will. Sometimes we take our will and call it God's. I would like for God to do my will. I've had a plan in life. Most of us have a plan. Some of you young people would love to have this, that, your life turn out this way, turn out that way. It so happens that if you're going to be a part of this prayer, you have to be willing to give up everything. You absolutely have to. If you don't, this verse doesn't apply to you. Give us this day, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. This one really strikes home. Give us this day our daily bread. Why is this a big deal? Is he talking about our spiritual daily bread that you're supposed to be reading your scripture every day? Maybe. Could be. I personally think it's this. He actually cares about our needs, but there's one thing that I have worried more about than anything else, and every man here and or woman, because most times, or sometimes a good bit of times, women take care of the finances. How many of you get worried when the checking account gets down to zero? Raise your hands. Go ahead. I do. How easy is it to go, God, feed me, and there's no money to pay your bills? I have learned when you have physical needs, it will sometimes bring you closer to God faster than about anything else will, because you now know that you have a physical need. And when God takes care of that physical need, now we can worship Him. But what happens so often, has happened in my life, I become obsessed with that. Or it takes up a lot of room in your mind, so we work harder. And it becomes a big circle, and it becomes actually a bondage. That God is so easily to be, you can forget God so easily that you can ask Him, feed me, and then go out and make sure that I may feed myself so God doesn't have to. He's simply asking, we're supposed to simply ask Him, give us this day our daily bread. Number one thing I found out that works for this. I'm a worrier. I worry about little things. I can worry. I have, since this is a childhood, I could worry. I worried that I come up here and forgot all my thoughts this morning. I could have done that. But I'm a worrier, and I've found comfort in that. I've also found there's much more comfort in this, and I have really learned this in the last year or two in my life. I have plenty right now. That's it. The big bill might show up tomorrow, but not today. There's enough of food in my refrigerator. I don't know about tomorrow or even retirement time, but today I have plenty. The wolf was at the door, but not today. And I have learned tomorrow, just do yourself a favor for your worry wart and worry about tomorrow. Give Him that and take care of your problems today. There's so much freedom, I can tell you straight from my heart. But it is a big deal, because God knew it. He put it in this prayer. Verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is the biggest part of this prayer. This is the most powerful part of this prayer. He even actually just jumps one verse, goes down to verse 14, and keeps right on talking about forgiveness. You want to have a prayer life that is that you can't reach God? Don't deal with this. I want to talk about forgiveness for actually a little bit more than probably most of the things this morning. What is forgiveness? Letting go of something that happened to you. It is a wound that happened. Most times forgiveness happens through wounding. Most of us have some woundings. Some of us have a lot of woundings. Some of us have woundings that have went really deep. Some of us have been cut by woundings of 1,000 cuts. And the way you look at it, a wounding is for real. Sometimes we look at the thing of forgiveness and we think that the wounding might not be real. We couldn't be further from the truth. The thing about a wound is real. People hurt us. I can guarantee you, there's a few guarantees in life, but I can guarantee you every person of age today that has any emotions has been wounded in one size, shape, or form sitting here today. I guarantee you. Some of them have been extremely deep. I've had some extremely deep ones. Some of us have lived a fairly sheltered life and haven't had really deep woundings, but you've had woundings. The interesting thing about wounds are this, about the things that happen to us in life. You have a right to some of the emotions that follow. You say, you do? I'm allowed to be the different emotions that go with it? We're an emotional creature. In a lot of ways, when you're deeply wounded, for you to absolutely feel nothing is one of the most horrible places you could be. There's people that have had that. If you have no feeling, that means in you there is no life. Sometimes the bigger life and the bigger heart you have, the more you feel this. The thing about forgiveness is you have to learn how to deal with the wounding. If you don't deal with the wounding in your life, I guarantee, you don't deal with the wounding in your life, there is going to be scars that are visible and that will not heal. Everything I'm going to be talking about forgiveness this morning, I have personally experienced. So I'm not looking at anyone or thinking of really anybody like, this is for you. I'm not doing that. I've experienced it. This is where we come to these young men. Where's my young men? In a second. Actually, no. I want you up here now. Adrian, guy's got some serious courage. And Benji, you know the courageous young man? I'll carry my notes. I want you up here. By the way, these men have no idea what I'm about to do to them, so maybe we should pray for them. They might have to ask me forgiveness afterwards, so just right here. Here. You're taller. You get over here.
Right here?
Yeah, you're over here. Turn around. You kind of face these people. They have to look at you guys. Kind of nerve-wracking, isn't it? Forgiveness. There's 7 stages to unforgiveness. I want to talk about unforgiveness. That's the biggest thing I want to talk about. Forgiveness. But the unforgiveness goes in 7 different stages. You will, at one time in your life, you're going to experience every one of these. And what happens so often, there's 7 stages, one that pretty well gets progressively worse than others. There's a program that I have listened to a couple of years ago on forgiveness, and then he was the one who talked to that. And if you're dealing with unforgiveness, let me know and I will forward it to you, because it has been life transformative for me. Because I went through this whole forgiveness journey, it's been a couple of years ago, and this person who taught on this did an insanely good job of laying it out. He spends a couple hours doing it. And I'm not a person who likes to sit there and listen to some of that stuff, but this grips me because I knew I needed it so badly. But forgiveness, there's 7 different steps that forgiveness does. What happens with some of us, as you go along in these certain steps, some of us will stall. I've done that. where you stall on forgiving someone, or you'll get it to a certain plateau, and never have I went to the top of this list. So, I will. You know you're in trouble when you bring the big bucket out. You ready for this? We're going to call this unforgiveness. Why? What are these used for in the police force? Flex cuffs. What are flex cuffs? Zip ties. This is for electrical. They figured out the strength of this is insane. If I don't cut these off, these young men this morning, it's almost going to be impossible for them to get out. This is unforgiveness. So, Benji was majorly wounded by you. Can you be the bad man? Wounded by him. So what happens when there's unforgiveness, especially in him, and I have to cuff him to just make a point. But he was wounded by him. He had something happen to him. So what happens when you do the first thing? You have unforgiveness in your heart. Because you have a right, because he did something to you that actually really wounded you. You have a right to be hurt. That pain is going to be there. That pain is yours. It's going to be there. So what happens is, put your hands up. Yeah, like this. You want to do two or one? Just two. Okay. Give me your other one. Actually, no. You hold that one. Never done this before. I thought this through, but sometimes things go sideways. Let's put this over here. Go ahead. The other hand through. Can he walk? Could you feed yourself? Go ahead, put that one through. Put your hand through. That's this one. There we go. Let's pull that one tight. Can you? So what would happen if I left these on? He could walk. He could eat. He could do things. He could be a normal-ish person. Other than, usually these wounds are more hidden than this, but this is actually unforgiveness. He has unforgiveness against him because, you know what, he did something wrong to him and he is wounded. He may know it, he may not know it. That's the interesting thing about the person who did the wounding. Sometimes the person who did the wounding doesn't even know, but the person who is hurt and refuses to forgive, or it can't forgive, or cannot, isn't at a place yet to forgive. This is what happens. This is unforgiveness. This shows up. He can still perform his work. He can still eat. He can go to school. He can learn. However, he's hampered. He's not being able to move freely. He's just here because he's more bound to this person than he knew. It's interesting how that works. So now, we move to the seven stages of unforgiveness. First one's anger. You're angry at Adrian because he did and said something pretty terrible to you. So what you do when you do that, a little chain. Not a big chain. It's a little chain. Can he still eat? Can he still live? You can live. But you're starting to realize that there might be a problem because he is starting to have a little bit of an issue with you. Anger is when you think of the other person, of that other person, it triggers something in you. Oh, I've done this. You think of what that person did maybe many years ago, the slice in your heart, the dig that he did, and you look at the person who did the triggering, and just there's an anger, there's something rises up in your soul. That's the first one. Next is bitterness. This is when things take part into your your actual heart. By the way, this chain is very easy to break. At this point, he's angry. He kind of knows that something's happened because there's a relationship that has been broken. How easy is this chain to break? If I took this out and hooked it to my pickup truck and hooked it to your tractor trailer, how long would we go?
Not very long.
It's pretty easy right now to break. So it would be very easy for you to go over to him and say, listen, what you did really either bugs me or cut me. And it would be probably easy for you at this point to say, you know what, I'm sorry. If he has the courage to go to him and ask that, guess what happens? This chain is very easily broken. Now, let's leave that there. Next shows bitterness. You guys are going to get a workout this morning, let me tell you. Will that stay? Can they walk? What is bitterness? Anger that is turned, that has turned to infection, it goes straight to the bone, is when your whole body actually, it's like sepsis. Anybody of you that have been in the medical field, when you get sepsis, is when you die. It has to do with infection, it goes straight to your heart. You will die if you let this here. It's pretty strong. You can still break this, but now it's harder. You're going to have to work harder. And now you're wondering, why in the world am I tired? That this guy really, really, really is starting to really not like me. When you walk into a room, you're far apart. But your soul is starting to actually, it's starting to get cancer. It is starting to die inside. It's right here out of these seven different ways is that it turns. So far it's been turning inward. He knows something's going on. He knows something's going on, but he hasn't lashed out yet. This is where it turns outward. This is my favorite chain. This will pull your tractor trailer out, I know. This chain, this is what it does. Guess who's holding this, by the way? Slander. You love to tell you the others, so he starts telling all his friends, you know what, Adrian, he's not to be trusted. He's a jerk. He is not a good person. Please don't be around him because his friendship will kill you. Which turns into resentment, which is bitter indignation, wishing ill, and basically hoping that their life just goes upside down. Have you ever had somebody who was really deeply hurt you and you see them completely, their life wipe out and you go, aha, I knew it. I knew God was going to judge him. Knew it. He had it coming. Anybody that evil does not deserve to be free. He can't be free from this. The last one is vengeance. Vengeance is what happens when there's someone that is so... Charlie Kirk, do I need to say more? That man was getting vengeance on that because he could have not. He had such hatred, he had such that much resentment for Charlie Kirk that he shot him in his throat while he was talking truth. There's something interesting that happens. You can actually hang this on here. Your hand's hurting. What's going to happen if I let that on your hands for a couple of days?
It's going to hurt.
Then? You're losing blood flow. Your hands are actually kind of turning kind of funny color. That's what happens. You finally come to the end of yourself. You're tired of it. You're sick of dealing with it, with unforgiveness. When you extend, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit, but when you extend forgiveness to someone who has wronged you so very, 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 very badly, the devil's going to come into your mind and he's going to tell you, listen, this is no hope anymore. You just go your separate ways. And I'm not saying you don't have boundaries. Don't get me wrong. This is a totally different subject. But when God shows up, I'm not going to cut your hand off, by the way. Yeah. Put this over here. Makes a little bit more sense. God shows up and he's done. He goes to God, help me. I understand that I have sinned. I have done something terrible, which is called unforgiveness. This is what happens, and I have had this happen in my life. The most transformative time in my life was 17 years ago. 17 years ago when I extended this very act, which is called, not this, but kind of. I realized I was in the place that Benji is at right now up here. He's in trouble. He stays like this. He's starting to wobble a little bit. He's not walking very straight. He's in trouble. I was in trouble. I went to someone that was so very, very dear to me that I didn't even know at that time that I was holding bitterness against. And I knew for some reason that I had to extend forgiveness to that person. And I did. And this is exactly what happens when you extend forgiveness. Maybe not this dramatic. I didn't know it for days, weeks, but I realized there's something else going on here. It works. When there's a... Wow. You can take that home. I hope that's the last time you're in flex cuffs in church. So, thank you, gentlemen. No, I got this. Maybe after church. You're good. We're done. We're done. The last part of the message, I'm going to try to wrap it up here fairly quickly, is a couple questions and some things I want to walk through that have really helped me in this journey of forgiveness. I've had to ask myself, can you be a Christian and have unforgiveness in your heart? Can you have unforgiveness in your heart and still be saved? Now, if I ask that question, let me ask another one. How many of us here, sometimes after you're saved, have had unforgiveness in your heart? Probably every one of us. So does that mean that you're unsaved? And I kind of struggle with this, but I want to walk through it very quickly. If the yes part, can you have unforgiveness and still be saved? Absolutely. One thing I had to understand is this. When you become saved, your sin debt has been paid. There is no doubt. Just because you still have unforgiveness and there's things that you have tied to other people does not mean you're unsaved. There's a clause, just like some excavators have a rock clause that if you hit rock, we will charge you more. It just the way it is. There's a clause. You get saved. God has forgiven you. And then in time, he will show you. This is an interesting thing. I've been a Christian since 19, well, I was 15 years old. So figure it out. I'm turning 55 here in a couple of days. And I'm just now starting to realize that after I went through being saved, God has released me. God saves me. God let me walk through the wilderness. God showed me how to go back to my mother and forgive her for some things that she would have wounded me with on a level that was, mom's not with us anymore. She's in heaven. No doubt in my mind. I had a forgiver. I was released from bondage. I was released from that day. I was released from the devil having the big hook in me. I was forgiven. I was forgiven from there forward as long as I walked with God. So how can I yesterday be sitting there studying this message? Had God, or last week, that God had told me before you preach this sermon, you make a phone call and ask for forgiveness. How does that work? I've been ordained a really long time. I've been saved a long time. I went through the program of knowing how to forgive. I've noticed something what God has done. I think He does this in purpose. I know He does it in His love. And so if you're finding places in your heart that you have not forgiven or not released, you are safe and saved because God has not revealed it to you yet. But I am going to tell you a little secret. He is going to reveal it to you while you're on earth. This is why He does it. I have seen so many besetting sins, habits, or things that I struggle with that are in my life that after a while I go, okay, there's got to be something I'm missing here. And go back. And it took the besetting sin, be it bad language, or be it just bad attitude, or you take the thing that you struggle with that you seem to not quite be able to get a handle on. God leaves that in your life so you realize that you are not, He is not done with you. He could just let you walk in your bondage. Remember God gets crushed? That's how much He feels for me. How would you like, both my youngest granddaughters and with both, they're the cutest things in the world. I'm sorry about you. Your children are cute, but not like my grandkids. I'm sorry. Sorry. Would I want to see them dragging that any of them chains around, tied around their leg? No. God doesn't either. But God also knows that we won't be aware that there needs to be something taking care of your life unless there's a chain sometimes that you have to sometimes just drag with. Does that mean you're not forgiven? Does that mean that God's salvation has left? Because He will show you until the day that you leave this earth. And I can guarantee you this, that He will keep showing you things that you are maybe living, thinking, and being wrong in. And it takes something like a chain or something that you're kind of bound to show you that. This is where you cannot be a Christian and walk away from forgiveness and say it is not for me, or for unforgiveness, or walk away from forgiveness is this way, is when you tell God no. That is one bridge too far. That person did the unspeakable to me. Happens. And you say no. God has mercy. He has mercy for many, many years. With my mother, for instance, I did not know that I held the bitterness. I really didn't. I had a great relationship with my mother the last 10 years, 15 years she was married. Alive. But why did it take that act of forgiveness to release me so much? What would have happened if I would have said no? At what point does God say, you know what? He did it to Israel time and time and time again. And I don't know where you come down on some of the belief systems of when God releases someone who says no for so long. But I look at people in the scriptures and I look at people around me who have said no for so long that after a while, you know, God can go cold. He is willing and waiting, and He will keep trying, I believe, to the day you're dead. But you, and I believe this from the bottom of my heart, are in control of the salvation that you have been given, if you can lose your salvation, it is you saying no. I want to finish with this. Every time that God has shown me a chain, like the first chain that was the largest chain I ever had, which is that big one with a big hook on it, He has blessed me. He released me from things that I had no control of. 90%, but not that last 10. Later on, it was something else. It was anxiety. How do I deal with it? And God took me on a journey. Can that be a bondage? Yeah. Is it sin? Not necessarily. But it is something the devil just loves to use. Every time that He has broken the chain of my life, He has always blessed me. Here a while ago, I knew that there are some things in my past that I had to take care of. God told me. I didn't know it was a sin. I didn't know that I had even sinned. I don't really know that I did. But there was a question mark on someone's life. I found out something very, very interesting when I made the phone call. We had a great conversation. It ended up being really, really, really lovely, if I can say something so unmasculine. It was lovely. Great conversation. A day or two later, I realized something. There is a fruit of the Spirit which is called joy showed up. I thought I had joy. I was happy. My wife is great. She feeds me. She loves me. I have great kids. Grandkids are just, they're the best. And then joy showed up. And to tell you what I'm kind of excited about, yesterday, I made that phone call that God had opened a window and He said, Paul, before Sunday, you deal with this. And yesterday I did. I started studying. I couldn't go. I made the communication. I'm kind of excited. I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. Is another fruit of the Spirit? A new pickup truck? No, not that. So. That's all I have for this morning. Thank you so much for your time. I want to really bless everyone here. Just if you do have something that is bothering you or has talked that has been coming to your mind, deal with it. But God is faithful. He will talk to you. Shall we stand? I want everybody to repeat after me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation. Deliver us from evil. That is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You're dismissed.